Let's turn again, please, to 2 Timothy and the chapter 3 and the verses 15, 16 and 17, the very familiar verses. They focus in upon the Word of God, and here the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, he wrote, "And that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Let's just take a moment to seek the Lord in prayer as we come to consider His Word today. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy Word, which is the bread of life for our souls. We thank Thee for Christ, the incarnate Word, who is the bread of life. And we thank Thee that we can ask Thee to break the bread of life to us as we come to consider Thy Word today. We thank Thee Thy Word is so necessary to show us our need of salvation and the way of salvation, and then to guide us as to how we ought to live when we've experienced Thy salvation. And we thank Thee today again on this Reformation Sunday that we remember that all those years ago that Martin Luther and many others discovered the truth contained in this book. We thank Thee Thy Word is unchanging, and we pray that Thy Word may be, even today, that living, speaking Word to each one of our hearts. I pray that You would help me now to preach even Thy Word and speak to all our hearts, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. This Lord's Day, the final Lord's Day of October, is known as Reformation Sunday because it is the Sabbath day closest to the 31st of October, when, of course, we remember this year that 500 years ago, Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door there in Wittenberg. And, of course, he was protesting against the errors and abuses of the Roman Catholic Church. And of course, he had rediscovered the truth of the Word of God. And when we think of the message that was rediscovered at the Reformation, it is often summarized by five statements or phrases which summarize the truth that was rediscovered at the Reformation. The first of those statements or phrases is the Scripture alone. And then, of course, we have Christ alone, we have grace alone, we have faith alone, and we have the glory of God alone. And those five statements summarize the message that was rediscovered at the time of the great Protestant Reformation. When we think of the Scripture alone, and we're going to focus in upon that this morning, we, of course, are reminded that the Scripture alone, found in the Old and New Testaments, the Scripture alone is all we need to teach us about God, to teach us about our sin, to teach us about the condemnation that our sin has brought us, to teach us about God's only way of salvation, and then how we are to live as believers. When we think of the statement Christ alone, of course, that reminds us that in the Lord Jesus alone and His perfect life, His sacrificial death on the cross and His resurrection, in Christ alone and what He has done, is salvation to be found. We think of the statement grace alone, and we are reminded that it is not our works that saves us or earns us God's salvation. It is grace alone, God giving us what we do not deserve. When we think of faith alone, we again are reminded that Salvation can only be received by faith alone. It's not faith in our works. It's faith alone in Christ and His finished work. And then, of course, the glory of God alone. Salvation is not for our own glory. It's not for the glory of a church or a preacher. It's for the glory of God alone. Because salvation is all of God from start to finish. And as we have said, those five statements summarize the great truths rediscovered at the time of the great Protestant Reformation. And of course, we still benefit from knowing those truths today and being able to proclaim them. And I want us to focus in upon the scriptures alone this morning. And we're not exactly taking these verses that we have read and going through every word within them, but we're taking them as the basis of considering why the scriptures are so vital and important. What Martin Luther and others rediscovered at the time of the Reformation. And I want us first of all this morning to consider the necessity of the scripture. As Paul wrote to Timothy here in these verses in 2 Timothy 3, verses 15, 16, and 17, he was able to remind Timothy personally that from a child he had known the Holy Scriptures that were able to make him wise unto salvation. And of course, we look around us in this world today, and the scriptures indeed teach us that creation itself, what we call general revelation, proves to us that there is a God. And yet, although creation around us proves that there is a God, we need the scripture to know more about God, and to know Him personally and savingly. And of course, the scripture makes that very clear. If you turn back for a moment to the Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, the psalmist reminds us that while on the one hand, creation teaches us there is a God, yet we still need the scriptures, the word of God, to know more about God, to know about our sin and why we're condemned. Because God is a holy and a just God. And to understand His way of salvation. If you look here at Psalm 19 and the verse 1, the psalmist tells us here that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. So we look up at the heavens, and that ought to be enough for us to understand the glory of God. That there is a God who has brought this world into being. And yet we need to understand more about God. About His holiness. About His justice. About His law which condemns us as sinners. And about the way of salvation He has provided from our sin. And that's when we need the scriptures. And in this Psalm 19, when we come down to the verse 7... the psalmist says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And as we read through the Word of God, we discover that God sent His Son to be the Savior of sinners. That God sent His Son to keep His law perfectly on behalf of every sinner who would turn from sin and trust Him as Savior. That God sent His Son to go to the cross at Calvary and to there give Himself as the great sacrifice for sin, to shed His blood, to suffer in His soul the wrath of God, to die and to rise again, to provide a way of salvation for we as sinners who have broken God's law and have sinned against Him. And so, yes, creation teaches us there is a God. But there is a necessity of the scriptures to teach us more about God and to teach us the way of salvation. In Romans chapter 1 and the verse 20, the Apostle Paul again emphasizes that creation is enough to teach us there is a God and to leave us without excuse concerning believing there is a God. Romans chapter 1 and the verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, all mankind is without excuse as far as believing there is a God, because the creation of this world, although this world was created out of nothing, the very fact that it has been created out of nothing proves that there is a God who has brought this world into being. And yet we come back again to the necessity of having the Scriptures to reveal to us more about God and about our need of salvation and about the way of salvation. And that brings us back here to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because Paul is saying to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and 15 that from his childhood he had been taught the Holy Scriptures, the Scriptures that were able to make him wise unto salvation, and indeed had made him wise unto salvation, revealing to him more about God and his holiness, revealing to him that he was a condemned sinner in God's sight, that he needed saved from his sin. He needed forgiveness. And God had provided that forgiveness and salvation by sending his Son to be the Savior. The necessity of the Scriptures to bring Timothy to experience salvation. And then to cause Timothy to grow in grace, because in verse 16, Paul emphasized how the Scriptures are profitable for doctrine, that is to teach us, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It is so necessary then that we have the Scriptures today to teach us our need of salvation and the way of salvation, to show us then how to live as believers, and to have the Scriptures then to proclaim to others. Because when we get into 2 Timothy chapter 4 and the verse 2, writing to Timothy as a preacher now, one preacher to another preacher, Paul exhorts Timothy to preach the word. And he goes on to declare that the time would come when people would not endure the teaching of God's word. And surely we see this all around us today. And yet today, ought we not to thank God that we have the Scriptures in our own language? The Scriptures that are so necessary to show us who God is and what he requires of us. To show us we are sinners in need of salvation. To show us how we can be saved. And if you're saved this morning, we ought to thank God that we have the Scriptures. There are others still today in this world, they do not have the Scriptures in their own language. We have had this privilege for many years. We ought to thank God if we're saved this morning. We have the Scriptures. All we need to know about God and the way of salvation and the great eternity. But maybe today you're not saved. And you might rejoice, yes, in the great Protestant Reformation. And you might be thankful to some degree you have God's word in your own language. And yet you have not heeded this word by turning from your sin and trusting Christ for salvation. And if you live and die in your sin, what a terrible eternity. What a terrible thing to stand at the judgment day, knowing that you had God's word, knowing that you heard it preached, knowing the way of salvation, and yet having rejected such truth, rejected such privileges. What a solemn thing. There is then the necessity of the Scripture. But I want us to think for a moment in the second place about the authority of the Scripture. What gives this book its authority? Well, of course, it is because it is the Word of God. And here again in 2 Timothy 3 and the verse 16, the Apostle Paul reminded Timothy, and we are reminded too, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. As you read through the Scriptures from Genesis right through to Revelation, of course, you come to understand there were many different human penmen of the various books. They were God's instruments. But they were not writing down their own ideas. They were writing down what God moved them to write. And this is what gives the Scriptures their authority. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1 and 21, he declared that holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And they speak, and what they speak was pen, written down. You begin in the book of Genesis and you begin reading through the Scriptures. And you will find so many times verses that say, "And God said," or "Thus saith the Lord," because the human penmen, they were not writing down their own ideas, they were writing down the Word of God. That's what gives this book its authority. If you look for a moment at Acts chapter 1, Peter was speaking in Acts chapter 1 and the verse 16. And he said something that again emphasizes the authority of the Scriptures, that they are the Word of God. Acts chapter 1 and the verse 16. Peter is speaking. He says, "Men and brethren, this Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." You see how Peter speaks of the Scripture, and he's going to quote from one of the Psalms. But he says, "This Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David speak." Oh, David penned the Psalm. David spoke the words, but it was the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David that spake. David was not speaking or writing down his own words. They were the words of the Holy Ghost. This is what gives God's Word its authority. And this is what the Reformers rediscovered at the time of the great Protestant Reformation. It was not enough to listen to what man said if they could not have the Scriptures to see if what man said were what God had revealed. The authority of the Scriptures, they're inspired by God. We also see the authority of the Scriptures when we turn to the Gospels and see that they were quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ. In those days in which the Lord Jesus was here upon earth, well, the Old Testament had been completed. And when we read through the Gospels and we read of the Lord Jesus, he quoted from the Old Testament Scriptures. He read from the Old Testament Scriptures in the synagogue. Surely that gives the Scriptures their authority, that Jesus Christ would quote from them and what he had to say about them. If you look for a moment at Matthew chapter 22, Matthew chapter 22 and the verse 23. Matthew 22, in the verse 23, it says, "The same day came to him," that is to the Lord Jesus, "the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him." And they had this question for the Lord Jesus that we're not needing to go into all the details of, but they were asking him a question. And in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God." The Lord Jesus said to them they were in error because they did not know the scriptures. And he's emphasizing the authority of the scriptures. If we do not know the scriptures, we will err. The authority of the scripture. And again the Lord Jesus quoted from them in verse 31 of this same passage. He said, "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying?" And he quoted from the Old Testament scriptures. He was emphasizing their authority. The scriptures then are not to be questioned. The word of man may be questioned, but the scriptures are not to be questioned because of their authority. They're inspired by God. They were quoted by the Savior. And the question is this morning, have you bowed to the authority of the word of God? If you're not saved, the only way you can bow to the authority of God's word is to acknowledge, yes, this word is true. If this word says I'm a sinner, I must be a sinner. If this book says that God condemns me because of my sin, that must be true. But of course, you can bow to the authority of God's word by not only acknowledging you are a sinner in need of forgiveness and salvation, but you can bow to the authority of this book by turning from your sin, by asking God for mercy and salvation, by trusting Christ in his finished work alone for salvation. And then, of course, once we are saved, we bow to the authority of this book by seeking to live out this book in our lives. We will never be sinless in this life. We will never be sinless till God glorifies us. But we can seek to be the best that a saved sinner can be. You see, Paul here, writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, he emphasizes that the scriptures are not only inspired by God, but they are profitable for doctrine. They're profitable. They teach us. They're profitable for reproof. They reprove us when we go astray as God's people. They're profitable for correction. They bring us back into the way when we get away from the Lord. They are profitable for instruction in righteousness, that we might grow in grace and become more like the Savior. Verse 17, that we might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We know that we're not saved by our good works, but we're saved unto good works. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. But we're saved unto good works. Our good works show forth what the Lord has done in our hearts and life. And so you begin to see what the reformers rediscovered at the great Protestant Reformation. And you begin to understand how important that little phrase is, the scriptures alone. The necessity of the scripture to teach us about God and the way of salvation and how to live as believers. The authority of the scripture, they're God's word. They're not the word of man. Inspired by God. Quoted by the Savior. There's so much more we could say about the scripture, but I want us to finish this morning by considering using the scripture. It's one thing to proclaim, yes, we thank God for the great Protestant Reformation. We thank God that Martin Luther and others rediscovered the importance of the Scriptures alone to teach us all we need to know about God and eternity and the way of salvation and how to live as believers. Does that mean we just keep the Bible on the shelf from one Lord's Day to another and take it out and bring it to the house of God? That ought not to be the case. We ought to make use of the privilege of having God's Word in our own language. And how do we do so? Well, it's very simple. It's very straightforward. We should read this book every day. We should read it, study it, learn it, and pray over it. We've already mentioned how the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, he often quoted from the Scriptures. And oftentimes he said to those who came to him, such as we mentioned, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, that they came with questions often to seek to trip him up. Often he would say, "Have ye not read?" The Lord expects us to read his word. We have such an occasion in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12 and the verse, well, it's the opening few verses just of Matthew chapter 12. This time it's the Pharisees. And in Matthew 12, in the opening two verses, the Lord Jesus, on the Sabbath day, went through the cornfield. His disciples were hungry. They began to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." They were making out that the disciples were bringing in the harvest. They were but plucking a little for their hunger. And the Lord Jesus said in verse 3 of Matthew 12, "Have ye not read?" And he went on to speak about something David did when he was hungry. He went into the house of God, the tabernacle. He ate the showbread that was not normally lawful for others to eat except the priests. But on that occasion, he was permitted to do so. In verse 5, again, the Lord Jesus said, "Or have ye not read in the law that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" They're involved in works of necessity. But the important thing I want you to notice is the Lord Jesus was saying, "Have ye not read?" He expects us to read his word. That will answer many of the questions we might have. We're to read his word. And then, of course, his word is to be read as it is in this house each Sabbath day. It's to be read and preached in public worship. That is why Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and 2, "Preach the word." That's why when you read through Old Testament and New Testament, you will find God's word being read and preached. Think of the days of Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 8, Ezra the scribe, he got up and he read the word of God to the people. And then it was explained. The sense was given. And you know, we ought to thank God today. You ought to thank God you have a place to come to where God's word is read and preached. There are churches in this land. And yes, God's word may be read in them. But it's never preached. And if some places never, some places rarely. And often what is preached from it is a misrepresentation of what God's word proclaims. The Scriptures should be used each day for we as believers to resist temptation. The Lord Jesus set the example. In Luke chapter 4, and he was tempted by the devil. Remember, each time the devil came with the temptation, the Lord Jesus said, "It is written." And he quoted from the Scriptures. That's an example for us to follow when the devil tempts us to sin. The Scriptures are to be used to test whether or not the preacher's message is accurate. In Acts chapter 17 and the verse 11, we read of the people in Berea, and how, as the Apostle Paul preached to them, they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. It might have been the mighty Apostle Paul, but they didn't take it for granted that everything he said was true. When he preached to them, they searched the Scriptures for themselves to make sure what Paul was saying was what the Word of God taught. And we can do the same. Just because I or someone else stands up in the pulpit and declares something doesn't mean you should automatically take it as true. If it's not found in the Word of God, you don't have to heed it. Because it's the Word of God, that's true. And of course, what the preacher says should be what is found in the Word of God. But today, as we remember the great Protestant Reformation, as we've thought upon that little phrase, the Scriptures alone, as we have simply mentioned this morning the necessity of having the Scriptures, the authority of the Scriptures are God's Word, and how we're to make use of the Scriptures each day, let us thank God that we have His Word, the complete written Word of God in our own language. And let us read it. Let us heed it. If you're not saved, come to the Savior today and trust Him. If we're saved today, let us make use of God's Word. Let us come to know it more. Pray for a greater understanding of it. Let us share it with others. And let us pray that others will come to experience the light of the gospel. There's a hymn in our hymn books, and it says concerning this book, how wonderful that book divine, by inspiration given, bright as a lamp its doctrines shine, to guide our souls to heaven. It lights our path, it lifts our hearts along the upward way, it life and joy and peace imparts till dawn's eternal day. May we come to appreciate more that we have God's Word in our own mother tongue. And may others come to appreciate and value the Word of God more and more. May God bless His Word to your hearts this morning. We'll turn as we finish our service, please, to 192. Again, another hymn that sets before us God's Word. 192. O Word of God incarnate, O Wisdom from on high, O Truth unchanged, unchanging, O Light of our dark sky, we praise Thee for the radiance that from the hallowed page, a lantern to our footsteps, shines on from age to age. We'll stand to sing verses 1.